what we have and what we do and the accomplishments, the only thing that does last are those things that are eternal, and that is our soul. And so today, as we continue in this series, I wanted to talk about why be thankful. You know, we're talking about giving thanks and being thankful during this season. So why be thankful? If you have in your Bibles, you can follow along with me today, or on your YouVersion. You can follow along. We do have this set up as a live event. For those of you in this room that would like to have a traditional Bible and you don't bring one, we do have some available. If you lift your hand, somebody will be glad to bring you one. The way that we are approaching life is that we are born into death. Colossians 2:13 tells us that when you were dead in your sins and your uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all of your sins. So we start off with being thankful because you have to understand where you came from. Where did this woman come from? She came from a sinful life. She was chastised. She was an outcast. She was not appreciated, not loved. Makes you kind of wonder how these guys knew who she was, though, right? Yeah. I'm just saying. And yet, even in her sin, in her death of her flesh, God loved her and showed her compassion. And God does the same for us. In Romans 5, verses 6 and 8, Paul writes, he says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Look to your left and to your right and say, "That's me." That's me. For all have sinned. For all have sinned, including myself. The person to your left and your right. Those of us who are married, we know each other's sins. Amen? Amen. It says that we're at just the right time where you still were in, you were ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love in this. While we were still sinners, the Bible says somewhere else, we were enemies of God. While we were still enemies with God, Christ died for us. You want to know why to be thankful? You were dead. You were at war with God. You were in love with the world. You were in love with the flesh and with sin. And you were in partnership with the other father, which was Satan, the father of lies. Now, those of us who have children, if you have a child who is unruly and unappreciative and disobedient and continues to just do whatever they want to do and is in open rebellion against you, now magnify that 1,000-fold. And say, "I'm going to die for you. Though you may not even accept my sacrifice, though you may not even understand why, because I love you so much, I'm going to die for you." Turn with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Paul says it this way. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?" Now, when Paul says things like, "So what shall we say then?" he's referencing something previously. That's why I referenced in Romans chapter 5. He's referencing the fact that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And that He gave us freedom from the law and freedom from our sin. And so Paul addresses this issue. He says, okay, how do we show our thanks? Do we show our thanks by continuing to sin? Hey, mom and dad got me out of debt. I know what I'll do. so that they can love me more, I'll go get more debt. Would we do that? If somebody came along and paid off your mortgage, would you say, wow, let's see if that happens again and go buy another house? This time, let's buy a bigger one that we really can't afford. No, we wouldn't do that. But that's exactly what we do in our life when we go and we continue to sin and be and rebel against God. And when He says He loves us and we've accepted that love, but we still say to Him, you know what? I still like my way better. Of course, this is a rhetorical question. And Paul, he says, by no way. By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life. If we have been united like Him in His death, we certainly also united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died is free from sin. Let me pause there for a second. What is Paul talking about? In our life, we are going to say yes to something or someone. It's in our nature. That's just the way we are. Before coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you said yes to sin. You said yes to Satan, to the flesh. He was, if you will, your master. And you were a slave to that sin. It works like something like this. If you could say, no, I'm not going to eat that other piece of chocolate cake. But then the flesh says, yes, you are. And you're like, well, what could I do? I got to eat it. My master told me. Now, is that how we do it? We don't really work that out in our brain that way, but that's exactly how that works. I'm not saying eating chocolate cake is equal to sinning. Now, eating a whole chocolate cake, maybe. A little bit of gluttony there, but that's exactly how the life used to be. And what Paul is telling us is that now you don't have to do that. When the chocolate cake is sitting there and the flesh says, you must eat it, you can say, no, I don't. And you can't make me. That little chocolate cake won't hurt you. What about lying? What about cheating? What about stealing? I came in at 9:15. I was supposed to be at work at 9. I'll just write down 9 o'clock. No big deal. Right? It's 4:30. It's almost like 5 o'clock. Let me check a few scores here. Makes you know it's 5 o'clock. Oh, okay, time to go home. For those of us who have email, you get that email and it says, hey, sexy dude, click here. I've been missing you in the chat rooms. Oh, it won't hurt for me to click over there. Who was Sex Kitten 1392 anyways? I don't remember her. No one's going to know. And see, in the past, the flesh would say, you have to do that. But Paul is writing that now that my flesh, my sin, was nailed to the cross with Jesus, we're free from that. can say no and mean it. Because you know what? We're saying yes to Jesus. We're saying yes to life. We're saying yes to the love of God and His sacrifice. Saying no is weak. Saying yes has power. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. You see, as long as we're alive, the only thing Satan holds over us is because if you don't, you're going to die. Surely you won't die. Remember that in the Garden of Eden? No. You can't take God at His word. Trust me. Now, if we died, verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin. And say these words with me, once for all. How many times did He have to die for sin? Once. But the life He lives to God. What life? His resurrected life. His new life. This life that He lives for us, and we live in Him. It's lived to who? To God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. In who? Christ. In Jesus Christ. That's the awesome thing. So many times we've heard it said, you know, the spirit is willing, but the what? Flesh is weak. And Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 7. I do the things I don't want to do. And I don't do the things I wish I did want to do. I just because the silly flesh that I still dwell in. But so many times we forget that last part of that passage. And it says, but praise God. Who will free me from this? Jesus Christ. It's already done. I was born in 1971. I accepted Jesus in 1982 when I was 11 years old. When was my sins forgiven? In AD 33, give or take, when Jesus Christ hung on a cross. Because I am now in Christ, Paul says. My sins were forgiven before I was even born. And so was yours. And now, we have the privilege to instead be dead, to be alive. So you want to know why? That we should be thankful? Because we are free. We are free from having to deal with sin. Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through Him, everyone who believes is set what?
Free
from sin. From every sin. Jason, you don't know the sin that I'm dealing with. You don't know the issues that I'm dealing with, the temptation. The Bible tells us no temptation comes to us that Christ did not have to face Himself or deal with. In Hebrews, it tells us He is a high priest who knows our sufferings. We don't have a God who is totally distant and totally unrelated to us that has no idea. He's not just telling us, looking down on us from His heavenly realm with all power and omniscience and telling us, just deal with it. Grab your bootstrap, pull it up, and let's trudge on. He's like, I've been there. I got in the mud and the muck and the grossness and the stinkiness of life and waded through the cesspool of a sin-filled world. But praise God, He came out not affected by it. And we get to now go with Him. We can learn from Him how to do that. It's one of my favorite passages is John chapter 8 says this. Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen?
Amen.
If you know the truth, if you know the teachings of Jesus, you'll be set free. He goes on to say, and if the Son sets you free,
you are
free indeed. Free. You want to know why we should be happy? Why you should be thankful? We were dead and now alive. We were captive and we are now free. If you have ever seen A Christmas Carol, an old Ebenezer Scrooge partner comes back. And he's chained with these boxes and heavy chains. And it says he's destined for eternity to wander with these weights. And it says, with every evil deed, I forge these chains, one link at a time. Every sin became a burden that I have to carry. And I love that imagery. Because what Jesus says is he knows all that and he sets you free from it. He says, lay them down. You don't have to carry those. But what do we like to do? Pick them back up. We want to carry them. Thank you, Jesus. I know you died on the cross for me. Set me free from that one, but you don't mind if I'll carry this along with me. I can't get over this one. The rest you can have, but I'm going to hang on to this one. But Jesus is saying, no, if the Son sets you free, it's from everything. Everything. How should we then act in our freedom? We're free because we're forgiven. You want to be Christ-like? Mimic that. Start forgiving. I would challenge that there is not a burden that we carry that's not heavier than unforgiveness. By carrying a grudge, a bad attitude of others and ourselves. When I was in jail and I was a chaplain, I usually have to preface that. When I say I'm in jail, people are like, oh. So when I was a chaplain in jail, there was a woman who had just delved into the just darkest, deepest place that a person could go. Was literally living on the streets, prostituting herself for the next fix that she could get for drugs. She would go days and days, not even knowing what was going on. And she did that at the cost of leaving her family and her two children and her husband. And while she was out one time in one of these binges of living on the streets and prostituting herself and being oblivious to reality because of the drugs, her daughter died. And it was 14 days after her daughter died that she sobered up enough to call home and discovered that. That had been 8 years previous from when I met her. And she has continued a path of spiraling destruction because she cannot forgive herself. The burden of unforgiveness is huge. It will weigh you down. It will tear you up. So we have to forgive. We have to share our freedom through forgiveness. If we have been set free, He set us free for a purpose. And one of those things is to love others. And we cannot love others if we are not willing to forgive them. But Jason, you don't know what they did. True story. I had an aunt who did not speak to her sister for 26 years. Because one day she went to her house and they did not offer her anything to drink even though they were having dinner. 26 years. It wasn't until one of their brothers were dying and he asked both of them to be in the same room and asked them to please work this out. And then they finally came out why they were upset. And the family was just, no one knew. That's what unforgiveness does. 26 years of ruined relationship. What does Jesus tell us to do? In Luke chapter 6, he says, forgive and you will be forgiven. You want to be forgiven? You have to forgive. You want to say that you're Christ follower and you're now in me? Act like it. And what did Jesus do? Did he say, you know what? As soon as you guys get your act together and get cleaned up and you're now following all 10 commandments and all the rules and doing 99% perfection, now I love you and you can be forgiven. Is that what he said? No. As I mentioned earlier, while we were still enemies, subversive to God, at war with Him, He died for us. So when should we forgive somebody who's hurt us? When they've apologized? When they've come groveling to us? Do we wait till then? No. While you're still angry, while you're still hurt, while they're still maybe in open rebellion against you. If you want to be Christ-like, we must forgive. Ephesians chapter 4 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Why? Just as Christ forgave you. And how did He forgive us? Every sin. All the way. 100%. John goes so far as to say this, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. You want to grow in Christ? You want to move in Christ and do things for Christ? You have to be free and unburdened. And the only way we can do that is to be forgiving. So why should we be thankful? Because we are dead and now alive. We are captive and now free. We are sinners and now forgiven. How should we show our thankfulness? And how should we give our thankfulness? By forgiving others. Like, Jason, that's so hard. You don't know what people have done. Watch this video and see what this lady did about forgiveness.
We end tonight with one of the most potent powers on earth. It can change lives in an instant. Everyone has it. It's the power to forgive. Watch it now in action in Steve Hartman's Assignment America.
In a small apartment building in North Minneapolis, a 59-year-old teacher's aide sings praise to God for no seemingly apparent reason. Indeed, if anyone was to have issues with the Lord, it would be Mary Johnson.
For all you've done for me. He never had a chance.
In February 1993, Mary's son, Loramian Bird, was shot to death during an argument at a party. He was 20 and Mary's only child.
My son was gone.
The killer was a 16-year-old kid named O'Shea Israel.
I wanted justice. He was an animal. He deserved to be caged.
And he was, tried as an adult and sentenced to 25 and a half years. O'Shea served 17 before being recently released. He now lives back in the old neighborhood, close to Mary. This close.
He lives next door.
Next door.
How a convicted murderer ended up living a door jam away from his victim's mother is a story not of horrible misfortune, as you might expect, but of remarkable mercy.
A few years ago, Mary asked if she could meet O'Shea here at Minnesota's Stillwater State Prison. As a devout Christian, she felt compelled to see if there was some way, if somehow, she could forgive her son's killer.
What'd she say to you? I mean, the first thing she said was, look, you don't know me, I don't know you, let's just start right now. And I was befuddled myself.
O'Shea says they met regularly after that. When he got out, she introduced him to her landlord, who, with Mary's blessing, invited O'Shea to move into the building. Today, they don't just live close, they are close. Clearly, Mary was able to forgive.
Unforgiveness is like cancer. It will eat you from the inside out. It's not about that other person. Me forgiving him does not diminish what he's done. Yes, he murdered my son, but the forgiveness is for me. It's for me.
For O'Shea, it hasn't been that easy.
I haven't totally forgiven myself yet. I'm learning how to forgive myself, and I'm still going towards, you know, trying to forgive myself and what it is I've done.
To that end, O'Shea is now busy proving himself to himself. He works at a recycling plant by day and goes to college by night. He says he's determined to pay back Mary's clemency by contributing to society. In fact, he's already working on it, singing the praises of God and forgiveness at prisons, churches, to large audiences everywhere.
Forgiveness is a powerful thing.
Yes, I'm grateful.
Which explains why Mary can sing her praise of thanks to her audience of one. Steve Hartman, CBS News, Minneapolis.
For all you've done for me.
So what is that person that has hurt you, what have they done? What is that grudge, that unforgiveness that we're still carrying? How can we set that aside? For those of us who are believers who have accepted Christ and His forgiveness, and we are now in Him, He says, your flesh is weak, but your spirit, my spirit, can do it. So how do we forgive? We take it to the Lord. We take it to God, and we say, God, help me to be like you. For those in this room who have never accepted Christ and His forgiveness, I hope you understand a little bit better today how much He loves you. And whatever it is that you may have had in your life, and you have not ever even considered the fact that a God who is almighty and omniscient and all-powerful would love you. But He does. We mentioned Billy Graham earlier today, and 95 years old, still preaching the same message he preached for over 50 years. Jesus loves you. Just as you are, He loves you. If you have never accepted Christ, today could be that day. If you've never accepted His forgiveness, what a way to give thanks. Because you know what? He's already paid for it. You want to thank God? Accept Him. I challenge everybody to please bow your head and pray with me. If you have never prayed a prayer to accept Christ's forgiveness, pray a prayer that's something like this. Dear God, I know I have sinned and done wrong, but I accept your forgiveness through your Son, Jesus Christ. I accept your forgiveness of every sin I have ever done. I trust in you as the only way to heaven. Help me to believe that forgiveness and forgive myself. For those of us who have already accepted Christ, let us pray something like this. Heavenly Father, let us forgive others as you have forgiven us. Search our hearts find what unforgiveness still lays there, and help us to give it over to you so that we can truly be free and not stumble. God, I just pray that you would just bless this congregation of people as we move forward. Let us move forward with freedom and power and love and forgiveness. And let us give thanks for all that you have done. In your name that we pray. Amen.